Good morning, everyone. Eric Perez welcoming you to another in a series of podcasts. Today we have on the line Keith Harris, from our QSI president. How are you going, Keith?
Very good, thank you, Eric.
We have Jonathan Davey, the executive director of Seafood Industry Victoria. And with us for the first time is Barbara Constas, from who is the CEO of the Melbourne Seafood Centre. How are you, Barbara?
Very well. Thank you for having me,
Eric. Thank you for coming along. So today the discussion is around, unfortunately, the introduction of what would be Victoria's equivalent of net free zones. We've got some questions for you both down there in Victoria. So I might ask Keith to kick things off if you can, Keith.
So just before we kick off, in terms of the commentary you made there, Eric, around the similarity to the net free zone. So as we touched on last week, we sort of got steamrolled in 2014 with the closing down of Port Phillip Bay and the removal of net fishing there. So for us, this is the next instalment in a series of what appears to be attacks on seafood consumers' rights to access fresh local seafood. So, it's a fairly targeted attack at our bay and inlet fisheries as opposed to our offshore guys who can also use nets. So it's sort of the next instalment, really, and the next fine. And it's sort of where do we go to next? What does the future look like? What does seafood in Victoria look like? And obviously making sure that we as we can as industry leaders share our knowledge but also our support for industry so that across the country we become better aware of where the pressures are, what are some of the discussion points, what are some of the hidden factors that we need to be aware of, and how do we properly make sure that industry is prepared and geared up for what is coming across the country.
Okay, so in terms of fixing the record then, so now that I've got this straight, there's been three tranches of what you might call net-free areas in our two states. So that is the net-free zones in Queensland were Cairns, Rockhampton and Mackay. And for the listeners' information, then the two tranches of net removal happened in Port Phillip Bay and the Gippsland Lake. Is that correct?
Yeah, and so this at the moment, the one that we're facing is a commitment. And it's only a commitment from the Labor Party. So while it's an election commitment at the moment, we're also gearing up for what do the next 4 years look like? Because as it's been announced, it appears as though this is going to be similar to Port Phillip Bay, where it's a 4-year program of a phase out of the 10 active licenses in the Gippsland Lake.
Okay, now that clears things up and adds some context to what we're trying to do today with the podcast. So thank you for that. Keith, can I throw over to you then for the first question?
Yeah, mate, find me what it is. I'd just like to comment on what Jonathan just said there. Unfortunately, we're just subject to the electoral cycle. Basically, constantly, it never ends. As you know, you've already been through it a couple of times, but pretty gut-wrenching. I imagine you've spoken to the fishermen involved previously, and in this, you don't get much lower than where you are when someone announces that they don't want to anymore. That's basically what it feels like to me anyway. One thing that really got me when we went through it was the lack of support from our local area, from the community and their councillors and the mayor, they were basically behind it all the way, shut you down. So, yeah, it's pretty hard to talk about, but, Eric, can you just ask a question and I'll just tag along?
Sure. The discussion leads nicely into this first question, I guess, is why do you believe there's such a fixation on net fishing?
It's a really good question, and I don't know whether it's a fixation on net fishing versus at the moment it feels like a fixation on what can we do to put fish on recreational fishers' hooks as opposed to the actual practices we are doing? So we look at the Gippsland Lakes, we look at Port Phillip Bay, we look at your net fishery in Queensland, and the fisheries could have had third-party certification because they're sustainable, they're using low-impact gears, they're passive fishing as opposed to active fishing, and the so-called conflict that everyone starts talking about, in particular in the Gippsland Lakes, seems to be through people who have retired down there going, I want to see change, I want to live by the lake system. You know, they've invested a fair bit of money in where they've bought their retirement home, and they expect to be able to walk out the front on the lake system and catch a fish off there on their hook. We're seeing across social media that there are a vast number of people who are actively recreationally fishing, so in a boat, along piers, wherever, moving, trying different things, and they're catching and they're doing quite well. But you get these, dare I say, geriatrics who go out there and sit there thinking it's their God-given right to catch a fish and someone better help them do everything possible to put it on their hook. And all of a sudden you get this push from people in the tackle industry who sit there going, you beauty, if I jump on board this, I'll sell more tackle. It's not creating value to the local economy in Australia. All it is doing is creating value to overseas and imported products that fill these tackle shops that wreck fishers go and buy. And I'll put my hand up. I'm a recreational fisher. I love it. I very rarely catch anything. I very rarely even get time to get out and do it. But for the rampant recreationals out there, which is a very, very minority of the so-called target 1 million group, they sit there and go, we deserve the right to catch everything, and the commercials deserve the right to catch nothing. They have no respect for seafood consumers, for the diversity that we offer, for the broader supply chain and jobs that are given through having a commercial industry. And they don't care. And
Sorry, mate, I just want to comment on the economic side of it. In 2015, the Minister of the Day up here said that this would be for the best economic use of the resource to basically shut down net fishing in those three areas. Just in the Fitzroy River Rockhampton area, which was the biggest one, about 1,700 square kilometres, it was producing something like $3 to $4 million worth of barramundi a year. That's only one species. And that money was returned to the community. Whether it was sold in Melbourne or Sydney, the money come back to the community.
Yep.
So to date, you know, this has been going for 3 years. So we're probably something like $10, $12, $30 million in the red from lost seafood catches and income to other businesses in town, which, to my knowledge, is nowhere near being replaced. So the best use of the economic resource was a load of crap. In Queensland anyway, it was just done as favours for friends, and we were just the collateral damage.
Can I interrupt and ask Barbara, what's your perspective on this question around a so-called fixation or not on commercial net fishing in your state?
Well, what's failed to be looked at is that when they do close the net fishing, the species that are caught through net fishing aren't generally targeted by the recreational angler out there. For example, in Port Phillip Bay, when they close the net fishing, we'll lose the sardine fishery out of Port Phillip Bay. We lose all the small species that the angler doesn't target anyway. I don't know that mullet out of Gippsland Lakes is consumed in huge amounts by the recreational angler down there. I don't think Taylor are. I think the bream, I believe it's all about the bream down there, the prized bream fishery down there, which comes through to Victoria, comes through into Melbourne and sold through the Melbourne markets and out into the broader community. What is also not looked at is that all the fish that are caught locally here are consumed locally within Victoria. And that is the beauty of these small-scale fisheries that are close in to Melbourne. And this is what our state governments fail to value, that these fisheries are supplying into the Melbourne shops and give a point of diversity in the window for the retailer over and above every other fish.
And I guess just quickly coming back to your comment around economics, Keith, you know, the arguments that we hear are always, commercial fishing is only worth $60-70 million to the state of Victoria. Well, commercial fishing, yes, it may be on the beach price and the GVP of fishing. But when we look at the economic and dollar flow through the market into the further supply areas, down the supply chain, into the broader community, the restaurant trade, etc., that $60 million is not even close to the figure of the value to Victoria, in particular, of the fisheries that we're talking about. And it's one thing that's always just glossed over of, we're only taking this little portion out of the industry, you guys will fill it somewhere else. It's not possible to fill it somewhere else. You know, every boat that is on the water, before that boat gets on the water, employs people. Where you've got to have the boat built, you've got to have it in survey, you've got to have a license. So, you know, you've got government employees, you've got construction and maritime safety experts already employed before a boat gets on the water. And none of that is taken into consideration in determining what value the industry provides to local economies and local communities. One thing we're actually seeing in Gippsland at the moment, you know, so it was interesting. Last week, the recreational sector held a rally in Painesville down on the side of the Gippsland Lakes, and the ABC Gippsland reported that they had 50 people there. They're going, 50 people, this is something that they really care about, isn't it? Oh, you sit there and go, if this was something people in that local community actually cared for and wanted, as opposed to, as I said before, the new retirees, the tackle shops in and around the areas, if this was something the community actually wanted, you would have had people there. And we're actually seeing at the moment through social media that the vast majority of the community does not support this as a decision. This is something done as you said, Keith, you know, it's the fishing industry giving way through political expediency and the ability to sit there going, look at what we're doing, we're making fishing great in Victoria for recreationals. That'll bring us votes and we don't really care about the rest.
Yeah, mate, I'll agree with you there. In Rockhampton during that 2015, I guess you could say a convoy organised by some local recreational fishermen to grab their boats and trailers and drive down along the riverbank in Rockhampton along the Fitzroy River. I think they got about 10 or a dozen boats.
Yep.
So that tells you that the majority of the community do not want it, but a lot of times the majority of the community are aware of what's going on, but it lasts 5 seconds in their brain and they move on to the next item. We tried to keep it in their brain for 12 months, but we were on a hiding to nothing in hindsight.
Yeah.
Because even when I would go and have meetings with other fishermen with departmental fisheries officials, they would say, this will happen. So what chance have you got when you go and bash your head against the wall when they've been told this is going to happen? Just go there and have a listen and jump on the plane and come home. So I don't know if that's been the same way down your way, what the consultation side of thing is by the sound of it. The last episode, what I know of it, there has been very little. It was announced a few weeks ago, and you're going to have a vote in another couple of weeks' time. You've certainly been hung out to dry on this one.
Well, the decision to stop commercial fishing in the Gippsland Lakes was announced by Daniel Andrews. No research, no evidence, no rationale, and no consultation with us. So no care for the commercial fishing industry, and eventually scat disregard for the seafood consumer, because ultimately that's what we do. We provide for the consumer. So the consumer loses out all the time, the seafood consumer. And ultimately, I say, it takes away the point of difference in shop front windows. You know, this might sound a bit extreme, a bit of a form of social licensing by Daniel Andrews to tell us what we can eat. He's telling us we can only eat white fillets.
Is he the state's fisheries minister?
No, so he's the premier.
Yeah, no, I was being facetious. Yeah, yeah.
No, look, and what we found really interesting during the week, there's a hell of a lot of effort that goes in to supporting farmers on the land.
Yeah.
And our fishers, who are the farmers of the sea, don't get any level of that respect or support or effort put towards us. You know, there was one of my members called me up during the week and said, oh, I've just heard the Premier on radio talking about agribusiness being the future of Victoria. You know, the provision of food, the food security, it's going to be our future. But apparently fishing and seafood doesn't come into that. Instead, they're going, where we are represented by the Minister for Agriculture. We are part of agribusiness. We are part of the state's economy, part of the export, the provision of food and fibre, and we're not considered in any discussions or deliberations as an agricultural sector.
Do you believe, Jonathan and Barbara, and I'll ask Keith this as well, that it's just the pure politics of it, that these politicians, so our former minister up here, Minister Bill Burns, and your premier are really looking at capturing that recreational vote, whether that is going to happen or not, whether that actually manifests itself, that this is all just pure politics in the lead up to a state election?
Well, I'm going to say we haven't had a count on recreational licences since 2008 and 2009, I think. Is it true, Jonathan? We've done a count on recreational licences.
Sorry, Barbara, did you say count?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So numbers, all right, sure.
Numbers of recreational licences 2008, 2009. We've got this antsy-fancy target 1 million, where he wants to get 1 million people out to recreational fish.
We've got an Ernst & Young report paid for by VR Fish that states that there's 838,000 recreational fishers, which is a figure based on 400-something thousand recreational fishing boats, when our state government and transport safety